Chapter 19.
Rose wouldn't quit. The moment she spotted the guard's gray and blue Canto Bight Police Department livery through the gloom of the cell block, she was at the bars yelling that she and Finn needed to be released this instant, or at least granted access to an attorney.
"This is a big mistake," she insisted as the guard strolled past, aiming his glow rod at the sprawled prisoners trying to sleep in neighboring cells. "We didn't do anything!"
"You crashed your shuttle on a public beach," the guard said, not even looking at her.
"Oh, I'm sorry. What, did we break the sand? You can't break sand!"
The guard, unimpressed, continued his rounds.
"Hey, don't..."
Rose muttered as the guard turned the corner and disappeared. She sagged against the bars. With the guard gone, Finn wedged himself in the corner of the cell and began pushing and pulling at the lock mechanism, trying to remember long-ago infiltration techniques from his first order training. Rose paced in tight circles, sizing up their surroundings yet again. As far as she could tell, the prisoners with whom they shared their cell were asleep, incapacitated, or possibly dead. There was no help there. And from what she could see, Finn's lockpicking was an exercise in stubbornness, not expertise.
"So after that totally works, what's our plan?" she asked.
Finn strained at the lock. Something beeped. Rose looked over in surprise and wild hope, only to see an additional panel slide into place, covering the lock mechanism. Finn leaned against the wall and blew his breath out in frustration.
"This thing that failed was our plan," he said. "Without a thief to break us into that destroyer, it's shot. Our fleet's out of time. We're done. Which means Ray's done."
Ray, as always.
Rose took a step toward Finn, determined to actually throttle him this time. What would they do if she did? Send her to jail?
"Why did I trust you?"
she demanded.
"Babyface," Finn reminded her.
"You're a selfish traitor."
Finn looked up.
"'Cause I want to save my friend?"
"Yeah, you'd do the same."
"I would not,"
Rose insisted.
"No? If you'd had the chance, you wouldn't have saved your sister?"
That was too much. Rose turned, took two steps, and shoved him. Her fury shocked him into silence. He looked so startled and hurt that Rose found her anger ebbing, replaced by a sick sense of weariness. It was over. They were going to sit in this cell while the resistance died, and whatever happened to them after that wouldn't particularly matter.
"I can do it,"
someone said.
"What?"
asked Rose, more annoyed than curious. One of their fellow prisoners had sat up on the bench and was peering blearily at them. He was scruffy and tattered, from his rumpled stack of hair and unshaven face to his battered jacket and dirty black pants. The man conducted a lazy inventory of his possessions: a pair of worn boots with the laces tied together, and a scruffy-looking cap, and began scratching himself, his fingers digging into places better attended to in private.
"Sorry," the man drawled. "Couldn't help but overhear all the boring stuff you were saying really loudly while I was trying to sleep. Go-breaker? Thief? I can do it."
He gave them a lazy double thumbs up.
"You?"
"Yeah, we're not talking about picking pockets," Finn said.
A feral grin split the man's face.
Yeah. Don't let the rapper fool you, friend. Me and the First Order Kodich go way back. If the price is right, I can break you into Old Man Snoke's boudoir."
Yeah, no thanks,
Finn said, at the same time that Rose assured the pile of vaguely animate rags that they were good. The thief, if that was indeed what he was, just shrugged.
"Besides, if you're such a good thief, what are you doing in here?" Finn asked.
The thief reached down and retrieved his hat, pawing it onto his head and making a vague attempt at straightening it. A cheap metal plate on the front was emblazoned with letters that spelled out, "Don't join."
"Brother, this is the one place in town I can get some sleep without worrying about the cops,"
he said, working his feet into his boots. Finished, DJ, that's how Rose had decided to think of him, waddled over to the cell door with the stiff gait of someone hung over or still actively addled. He looked blearily at the lock while Finn watched, amused and curious.
"Hatuga,"
DJ cursed. He reached over, adjusted something else, and slapped the lock. The door slid open noiselessly, and he strolled out into the cell block, leaving Rose and Finn staring gape-mouthed at the open bars. An alarm began to blare. Rose and Finn exchanged a stunned look, squeezed through the door, and began to run. Sometimes the worst thing about being a droid was also the best thing. Nobody noticed you. After being unceremoniously heaved out of the casino, BB-8 had watched, unmolested but powerless to intercede, as a police speeder carted off Rose and Finn. A map of Canto Bight suggested a logical destination, the local jail. So BB-8 headed that way, dodging ground coaches and customized speeders, troubled only mildly by the coins rattling around in his innards. By the time the droid arrived in the vicinity of the jail, Rose and Finn had been processed and an authorization issued to hold them pending identification and sentencing. Activating a slicing subroutine that had proven useful getting Poe out of more than a few scrapes, BB-8 delved into Canto Bight court records. After a moment's search, he whistled mournfully. By the time Rose and Finn were eligible for bail under normal procedures, the chances of saving the Resistance fleet would have dropped from scant to non-existent. Well, so much for doing things by the manual. While rolling across the speeder lot in front of the jail, BB-8 accessed his primary photoreceptor's image memory, reviewing the denomination of the Canto coins he had accumulated while masquerading as a slot machine. Disappointingly, the amount, while able to buy several months' worth of high-quality oil baths, was likely insufficient to persuade a legal official to make the charges disappear from the docket. That was disappointing, but not unexpected. Apparently, a more direct approach would be needed, one that BB-8 concluded merited a pause for electronic consideration. BB-8's computational suite contained tens of thousands of subroutines, from ones accessed nearly every day, facial recognition and threat assessment of organics, to others that had never been initiated. It wasn't impossible that mimicking the mating calls of Zohaka 17's sea life might prove useful at some point. None of BB-8's subroutines was an optimal match for the most likely scenarios that would unfold once he entered the jail. An anti-personnel tactical suite with accompanying weapons attachments would have been ideal, but the Astromech didn't have one of those. Still, BB-8 had learned a few things from Poe over the years. Humans and other organics were dangerously error-prone in so many ways. They somehow failed to see or hear important stimuli, insisted on ignoring data they didn't like, and forgot things they desperately needed to remember. Any self-respecting droid would have addressed such failings with a quick diagnostic session and a memory defragmentation. Yet organics made up for this, at least a little bit, with a talent for tackling a problem with simultaneous bits and pieces of multiple subroutines at once. What they called improvisation. BB-8 liked to think he had developed a knack for that. At least entering the jail proved trivial. BB-8 consulted a map, headed for the employee entrance, and simply rolled past several officers sharing questionable strategies for betting on Fathier races while exchanging rumors about the No-Johns gang. As always, nobody noticed a droid. The time for improvisation came once inside the cell block, which did require BB-8 to wait for a guard beginning his shift to badge in and enter, completely ignoring the astromech rolling inside beside him. Once the new arrival finished chatting and joined a sabacc game with the other two guards on duty, BB-8 swung into action. His decontamination foreign body purge subroutine allowed him to fire coins like slug thrower shells, forcing humans into a defensive crouch. His electroprod could be dialed up to an intensity level that would incapacitate them, and his liquid cable launchers were adequate for binding them so they were incapable of pursuit. BB-8 had just finished this work and was feeling a bit pleased with himself when the jail's alarms began to blare. A moment later, an ill-dressed human who needed a bath rounded the corner and almost tripped over the astromech. BB-8's threat assessment matrix proved unable to categorize the new arrival. Insufficient data. But judging from his appearance, he wasn't a guard.
"You do that?"
the human asked, taking in the unconscious guards with what BB-8's auditory sensors identified as a mix of admiration and amusement. Before the droid could answer, another guard rushed into the cell block, blaster drawn. BB-8 fired a fusillade of coins at the man, forcing him to raise one arm to shield his face. While he was distracted, the human brought his fist down on the guard's head, leaving him motionless on the floor. As the grungy man began scooping up coins, he looked over at BB-8 and grinned.
"So, what's your story, Roundy?"